Tonight I'm going to talk to you about something that it hit me just this past weekend. As you know, we traveled. I went to my aunt's funeral. And so I'm going to bring you a message, and it's called a priestly blessing. A priestly blessing. And I'll tell you, it's Numbers 6, but I'll wait for a second for the verses, unless you know where to find it. Because that was the thing. I had a family member. And they were sitting at the table, and, you know, we'd just gone to this funeral, and they were curious, where's the reference in the Bible that it talks about the Lord making his face shine upon you? And if you've ever heard that, then you know where it's at. And, you know, it hit me really quick to the chase, because when I was growing up in my parents' house, I was living with my mom and dad, and of course, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and the pastor, every Sunday morning would conclude the service with the priestly blessing. And as I was growing up through at my parents' house was mostly the junior high school and college years. You know, there's a lot of life events. There's a lot of weights. There's a lot of concerns. You know, you're learning to be an adult, and the world can come at you. And that blessing every Sunday started having more and more impact on me. And I don't know why. Other than just the words would go to me. So each Sunday, I desired to hear it more and more each time I heard it. And it's 24 through 26. So if you want to look in 24, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, it reads this. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And I would hear that every Sunday, and I didn't think about it until it just kept the same blessing. And as my life, things were going on, and I'd be in church, and I'd get that at the very end, and he'd look around, and he would always catch my eye. And now he probably caught everybody's eyes. I try to do it too, but it just hit me. And I wanted to go through these because I think we don't think about these too much. And if we look at verses 24, 25, 26, there's three key elements. So in verse 24, it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Well, this is a request for divine favor and protection. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. This implies God's favor, a bright, pleasant countenance, benevolent care for us. In verse 26, says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And this is a great gift, signifying God's attention and his profound, holistic view, holistic well-being of shalom. I put in shalom, but I say peace. It's a wholeness, a completeness, a very calming peace. And you know, like I said, it's a priestly blessing because it is referred to as a priestly blessing frequently. And I never thought about this. And if you look at verse 22 and 23, I'm going to go look at these to set the stage. It says, 22, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. So let's think about this. Verse 22, the Lord talks to Moses. And he says, Moses, I want you to tell Aaron something. I want you to tell Aaron and his sons to tell the people, this is what you say to them for something that I desire for them. So it's kind of like playing mailbox, right? God told Moses, Moses told Aaron, Aaron told Israel. And, you know, it's often seen as just a blessing by the high priest over the children of Israel for ceremonial reasons. And like growing up, in my parents' house, that's kind of what it was. It was the end of the church service. It was a ceremonial priestly blessing, but it was really something that God had desired for Israel. He wanted you to say this as in, I want to give you something. So it's much more substantial. It's not a request. So, I mean, even though it says, Lord asked Moses to tell Aaron that the children of Israel get this blessing. Really, you know, even though God desires to hear our requests, he desires us to receive a blessing. He desires us to receive a greater blessing. And, you know, He wanted us to receive something that's not requested by the children of Israel, but instead something that God requests of himself for us. That's crazy. It's like God desired something that he wanted to be requested of for us. It's like, hey, I want you to ask me of this because I desperately want to give it to you. You know, it was God's desire to have this blessing to be prayed over them. And, you know, it means that whatever he wants to give, it's dear to his heart. And it's something he aims to achieve. And it's for the well-being of his children, us. God said to Moses to tell Aaron, to tell the children of Israel, I want you to ask this of me because I desire to give it to you. So let's look at these in the three pieces that I'd like to go through as quickly as I can. We'll look at verse 24. Verse 24 is his blessing and keeping power. God desires to bless us. And James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God desires a blessing for us. You know, and many times we pray for blessings. You know, a lot of times in our lives, they include a home, a vehicle, maybe to do well in your business life, to be successful. We ask for these things. We ask for blessings. However, the Lord's blessing power is never separate from his keeping power. But what does it mean to be kept? It says here, bless thee and keep thee. And I always wondered about that. It's like, how often do we ask God to keep us after we've received such a blessing? I mean, we need to ask him to also keep us after we ask for, you know, you ask for a blessing, you receive. Now we need to ask to be kept in that blessing. What does that mean? You know, it's God's desire that he is the only one. He provides these blessings, but it is even God's desire, because he is the only one who can keep us from being entangled in idolatry and materialism, by the blessings we seek. So keep means to keep you in mind of that blessing, right? And not let it fall into something else that's not what it's meant for. You know, don't get into materialistic things. I mean, that's one thing. If God would bless you, and this is one I've struggled with, is seeing, you know, growing up kids and, you know, everything seemed going great. And it's like, wow. But then you realize it's only material goods and they burn up and they're gone. So bless and keep. It's God's desire not only to bless us, but he wants to keep us while we're in those blessings from misusing or seeing them in another way that they were not intended. And that power is together. Let's look at verse 25. Verse 25 is his grace. God favored the children of Israel in a great way, even though they didn't deserve it, just like us. But this passage, 25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. This passage shows that grace is freely given, even though it's not deserved. And it says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And there it is in 25. Make his face shine upon thee. That would always stick with me. That was one of it. The other one is at the end, give thee peace. But make the Lord's face shine upon thee. So it was God's desire that his face would shine upon us. And, you know, this should not lead us to feel that we can do anything we want, right? I mean, if God is providing grace, we think of that as forgiveness. You know, we shouldn't be doing anything we want. It's not a license to sin. There is consequence. But, you know, in Romans 2:4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So God being gracious is not that we might sin more. It's there to help lead us to the repentance of that sin. It's to give you the grace to come back. You know, and while we're in this sinful state, he issues his grace, but that grace is greater and plentiful than the sin around us, the sin in our lives, and the sinful world we live in. But that doesn't mean we use it to sin. It's there to bring us to repentance. And God saved us by his grace, but his blessing and his keeping power are all part of his grace. God's grace is meant to save, to keep, to satisfy, to comfort, and to assure us of his presence in our lives. Amen. It's to bring repentance. If we look at the last verse here, 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. And I always want, you know, I always thought about that countenance being a big word. Even though I did vocabulary, I never used those words. You know, later in adult life, you think of countenance. Someone says, oh, your countenance is showing, you know, your countenance. What do you mean? It's more of the appearance of you, right? Your face or your emotions. You carry it outwards. What is your countenance? And, you know, God is not just giving us his grace in verse 25, but he's also giving us his divine approval. See, countenance, I'd like to think of God's countenance when it's lifted up, that God has a smile on his face. He's smiling at me. He's happy. And that's his countenance. He lifts up his countenance. He's saying, I approve. And a smile as his approval, you know, is given with the work of grace after our sin is relinquished and the standard of righteousness is met. You know, we can't do that on our own. The standard is set, and it's only met because of Jesus Christ in us. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it means to be approved. When you let your sin go, it means to be approved. And I like to look for that smile. There's two places I think he smiles. He smiles when you're going through trouble, knowing what's going to happen, and he's excited for you. And he smiles when he's pleased and he's giving you approval of that. You are letting go of your sin. You are following in his light. But you know, God's approval, it's started, and it's already started when he gave us his grace. So it's up to us to live in that approval by living in that grace. Remember I said, grace doesn't mean you sin more. It just means you have a path to repentance. You have a path to come back. And it's, you know, you ever heard someone say that I can't clean myself up or I need to clean myself up before I go back to God? That's grace. Grace allows you to come back without having to clean yourself up. It allows you to come back into a state of repentance. So we live in his grace by understanding that we were sinners, but we are sinners. And that we are in need of a Savior. And that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Amen. And then also that we are continually redeemed, which means bought with a price, and are continually transformed and sanctified through his work in our life. Amen. So when we live in his grace and his approval, we are granted his peace. That's the part I like at the end. That's the part at the very end he'd say, and give thee peace. They would calm my heart. And I thought, oh, yes, God will give me peace. And that was what was needed in my life at that time. You know, it was growing up when you go through college or different events, you're learning to be an adult. It can be tough. And when I think of peace, and I also think of hope, the noun hope, these are blessings that can be great possessions provided by God. To live a righteous life while we live among and we try to reach the unrighteous world. So I need the peace that God provides in an unpeaceful world and a world that is constantly coming at me with sin. The peace, and it's how I looked forward every week to hearing God grant you peace. God's smiling on you. And God wants to bless and keep you. Amen. And it was very interesting that, you know, I never really thought about it, that this was God saying, I've got something I want you to give me. I've got something I want to give you, hey, Moses, tell Aaron to tell the people this is what they want to ask for. Tell them this. It's kind of crazy. It's like, hey, you know, it's like, hey, I got a new car, but you got to ask me for it. You know, as we think of things, but God's saying, hey, I've got grace. I've got hope. I've got peace. Just ask me for it. I'm going to give it to you. So every week, it would come to a point at the end of the service that he would stop and he would just say, you know, he would actually put his hands up and he'd calm down after a sermon and he would say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And that made all the difference every week for me. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you want to bless us in a great mighty way. And we thank you that not only do you want to bless us, but keep us in your hands, in your arms, as you provide that for us. And the grace of the gift of grace that you've already provided, knowing that we can't clean ourselves up before you. But we also thank you for the peace you provide in our lives. And we pray that we would use our lives as a glory to your name for what you have put in them for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.